It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're in the 7th chapter of John, John chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading with verse 11, and we're going to read down through the 18th verse. John chapter 11, chapter 7, verse 11, and 11 through 18. So if you would look that up so that you can follow along and read along with me today, it's so important that you see the Word of God. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to hear from you if you would send the note to Parkview Bible Church and the put a box number on it, if you would, please, box 43, and the zip code is 62341, and again, Hamilton, Illinois. I hope that you do have a moment today to stop and to search the Word and read the Word with us today. John chapter 7, now we're going to begin reading with verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there were much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine own, not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Let's begin with prayer before we start today. Father, I thank you that we can come, enjoy your precious Word. It's a wonderful day to look unto your Word, as each and every day is and should be, and we should be in your Word every day and never lack being in your Word. Please, Lord, that you would guide and lead us through these sweet verses today, that we may know your way and your will, that we may come to know you as our Savior if we don't today, and then we'll be able to understand the doctrines, as the 17th verse tells us. So please now, Lord, guide and lead us as we enjoy this precious Word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have watched the Lord Jesus as we found in verse 1, that they were Jews were seeking to kill him. We found, according to verse 2, that the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. And this is not a feast so much today is become tradition. Well, I think that the actual process that they do today is much tradition. But the Feast of the Tabernacle was something that was given unto the Jews, and it was given them from God unto Moses, and Moses then brought it to the people. And so it is something that did not originate with man. It originated with God, and it is placed in His Word for us to know. We do no longer follow the Passover and the Pentecost and Feast of Tabernacle, and as we've been through the feasts here in the last few weeks, we are not to follow them today. It's not our responsibility to follow them, as it was at this time for the Jews, because till Jesus came to the cross of Calvary, they were to do this. But when Jesus come to the cross, all that was finished. That was completed. It was fulfilled, and not to be taken at that time. Now, there's a lot of discussion of what's going to take place back at the time of the tribulation and then the thousand-year millennium of some of these things returning. But that's, at this time, it was something that the Lord had given. And so they were to be following it. As we talked before, there were these certain feasts, certain festivals that they were to travel back to Jerusalem. This was one of them, the Feast of the Tabernacle. We know that the brothers, the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus, was wanting Jesus to attend with them. We also learned, and it seems so unbelievable, that they did not believe in the Lord Jesus. That was their half-brother. They had known him all of their life. They had witnessed somebody that was perfect, and yet they still did not believe him. And so I want you to see very carefully in your own life that you can, you know, live in the best of families. You can be in the church and in every part and every activity that goes on within the church and still not know the Lord Jesus the way he wants you to know him, and that's personally, to come and trust in him. Ask him to come into your heart. You know, he became flesh and came down here upon this earth to seek and to save us, and he did it by the means of the cross of Calvary. He went to that cross and died because the sacrifice had to die. That's all God's way and all God's plan. But all we need to do is come by faith to him and trust in him. And so it's so important that you don't miss that and don't hold on to something that you have always done, again, to be a member of a certain church, or you've been baptized, you take the Lord's Supper. I don't care what's on the name of the church. I don't care. It can be anything, any division, any denomination, until you realize that Jesus has come to save you and recognize your sin, confess those sin in your heart, your mind and your heart, and you please ask him to come into your heart and to save you. And there's no name on the church, there's no certain group that you can be with or a certain family that you have was born and raised in that takes care of this. You have to come. I guess there is a family that can take care of this, and that's the family of God. But in order to be a member of the family is to become a Christian, a believer, and that's how you must do it, is come by faith to Jesus and be saved. It's the only way that you can become a member of the family, the only family that does bring salvation into your heart, and that's to be a member of the family of God, to trust in the Lord Jesus, be a member of the church. Now, we find again, his half-brothers did not even believe him. His half-brothers wanted him to come and to be a part of this festival, and he says, no, my time has not yet come. We have looked at that in the 6th verse of chapter 7. We find that the world hates the Lord Jesus, and the reason that they hate him, and the reason maybe you have neglected to come to him today, is because he shows you how sinful you are. He shows you that you need him as a Savior. And whenever you look to the Lord Jesus, the light will shine to you, and you will confess your sin before him. And if you say that, well, I go to confession. Many folks do that. I go to confession. That's not right, my friend. You confess it before the Lord Jesus. And yes, to confess your sin continually as you live, even as a Christian, maintains a fellowship with him. But to come before him with a broken heart because you recognize your sin. And again, that's in your mind first, then down into your heart. Because it's you've got to come from the heart. And when that time comes and that takes place, then Jesus comes to live within you because you've asked him to come. And please, that you recognize this, the half-brothers of Jesus still need to do that. We find that Jesus didn't go to the festival at that time. He came at a later time. And upon the later time arriving, why, it wasn't long that we find, according to the 11th verse, is where we started. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? They expected him to be there. They probably saw the disciples there. They may have seen the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus was there. And so they knew he should be around someplace. And again, if he was a Jew, if he was who he said he was, he would have to be there. And that was true. He did have to be there because he fulfilled the law. He was there. They just hadn't found him yet. And there was much murmuring among the people, the scripture tells us. He was trying to figure out not only whether he was there, but they were trying to figure out, as the scripture says, is he a good man? And others said he's here to deceive the people. He's a liar. And so all this conversation went on amongst the people as they were there. There were a couple of different groups of people that were out to that he had to deal with. The first, of course, was the Jews, as verse 11 tells us. They sought him. They were looking for him. Now we find the people. They were all visiting, trying to figure out what was going on. And and just talking it back and forth. You know, people do that today. They'll get off in a corner someplace, and they'll carry on this conversation between themselves, you know, of whether something is a truth or not a truth. Well, they did the same thing with the Lord Jesus. There was so much rumor going on of what he was and what he was doing. They were not looking at him. They were listening to the rumors. And today it can go on the same way, only the problem is today that those rumors have almost moved to something that's tradition within a church, and it's many things today are not true to the Word of God, and yet we accept them as a truth. We take them as a truth, and we can't do that. We must, if we really want to know the Lord Jesus and really want to talk with Him and to Him and have Him guide and lead us, we need to go only and only to His Word and nothing else. And so as we look unto Him and desire to have the truth, you have a choice. Are you going to trust by faith in the Lord Jesus? Or are, as some of the people said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Do you believe that? Do you believe if we follow the Word of God, and I don't mean the, you know, man takes so many parts of the Word and then adds their little bit to it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Word of God and only the Word of God. If you will go to that and trust in that and walk with the Lord Jesus, you will not be able to imagine the power and the strength that you'll have, the saving power you'll have if you'll come by faith to Him, and then the power and strength you'll have to walk each day with Him. Or you can stay on the other side, and you can believe Him to be a liar and a deceiver, and I don't believe all the Word of God. That's the common statement today. Now, you know better than with me, because I believe the Word of God. I trust the Word of God. I study the Word of God. And no, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you are. I make mistakes. I fall away. But I have a Savior that died on the cross of Calvary for me. I have confessed my sin and come before Him. He has forgiven me. And He has set me on a way, on a direction that should make me like Himself, like the Lord Jesus. And when I follow Him, and when I follow His Word, I become closer to Him, and I have the power and the presence of God upon my life. When I choose not to, the power and the presence of God leaves. Not the saving power. Jesus is in my heart, but His power is gone, the fellowship's gone, and I need to confess my sin and come to Him. To Him. Confess my sin to Him. And not to a man. Not to anyone. You have to get your heart right with the Lord. And so if you hurt someone, and in order to make things right, you need to go to the Lord Jesus first, then go to that individual and make it right. But to come to an individual continually on a weekly or daily basis, as some do, and confess their sin, you need to go to the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that can give you forgiveness, not a man. These people here, they had so many things that they were questioning. They wondered who he was, what was going on, all those things. And so we need to understand that, first of all, there are people that to this day still murmur. They're still talking about it. Some believe that he is a good man. Some believe that he's a righteous man. Some believe that he lived a very righteous life, but he's not God. Some just deny it completely. And so all those things are still here today. They were here at this time 2,000 years ago, and they're still here today. And so it's up to you whether you come by faith to Jesus or whether you're going to reject Him. And once you've come by faith to Him and confessed your sin and began that sweet walk, then that's just what it'll be if you continue to do His will. They find here in verse 13, "Howbeit no man spake openly of Him for fear of the Jews." The very Jews, the God's chosen people, those that you would have thought would have been looking for Him and awaiting His arrival. Instead of that, those people, they were bringing such a vengeance, such a powerful work to try to put Jesus to death, that the people would not even speak openly. And when it says murmuring in the verse above that, that's just what they would do. They would kind of visit amongst themselves quietly, because you wouldn't want to get caught talking about this Jesus, because if you did and you weren't criticizing or condemning him, but you were lifting him up and considering to come to him and trust in him and believe in him, if that was the case, why, you too would be arrested and possibly even put to death, because they hated the believers. And so these Jews, they howbeit no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now we can have the same thing today. You can believe, you can have a church today that when you speak the truth of the Lord Jesus concerning salvation by him and living by him and only by his word, that is way too conservative. That's way too old-fashioned. We need to be more liberal. We need to look more today at the Word of God in a much more liberal manner, so that we can bend it into the lifestyle of today. It's not going to work today. That's what some say. It does work today. Jesus saves today, and you follow after his word and his word only, you will live a beautiful, righteous life in serving him. And please that you will follow after him, even though many people today will come and criticize, as the Jews did, even to the point of arresting you. And I'm afraid that that's coming in the future, and it may not be too far away that someone will come, and if you preach the truth and if you stand against the ungodly and the antichrist and the false teachers, that all of a sudden you're going to be in the minority and you're going to be the one that's going to be arrested and sent away because you're following after the truth. And that could happen. The Jews would do that. The people were quiet because of it. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Remember, I told you that he was close by. He had come in secretly. We find, according to the Word of God, the 10th verse, but as it were in secret. And so we find him in Jerusalem. I told you he'd be there. He was. He had to be there. And he was quiet for a period of time, and here's all the people murmuring. Here's the Jews making all their bold statements against the Lord Jesus and everything that's going on. And all of a sudden, Jesus found himself to the temple. He wasn't quiet in the temple very long. He began to teach. He began to teach. I would like for you to look back to Malachi. I love the Word of God. I love the whole Word of God, not just parts of it, not just pieces. You know, here if people that they're inspired to, they think that the Scripture is just inspired in spots. It's not the full, complete Word of God, and it's not totally the truth. And so, and undoubtedly, then they must think that they're inspired to pick out the spots. And if that's the case, why, they've been deceived, as so many. I believe the whole Word of God, Old and New Testament, in each and every part of it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Where do we find the Lord Jesus suddenly? In the temple. Suddenly he is in the temple. Now about the midst of the feast, verse 14, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. He did not just enter into the temple, but he taught the people. Let's look to see what they were hearing from the Lord Jesus. The Jews marveled. They were amazed. They were taken at what he was saying. How knowest this man letters, having never learned? You see, today, if you don't graduate from a certain college and a certain seminary, you cannot preach in a certain church. You have to have the proper credentials. I would not be welcome in many churches to preach the Word and to teach the Word, because I don't carry the proper credentials for that church or that group. And so they would not allow me into that church. They would not want me in that church. And so, and that goes on today, and it was the same way at this day. the Jews, you had a certain level of education, and you carried certain your papers, certain credentials with you. Jesus did not have them. How can this man, how knowest this man letters, having never learned? And the word marveled there. They were so taken, so amazed at what they were hearing. We can go to verse 46 of the same chapter, and you'll find that the officer's answer says, "Never a man spake like this." They were so taken by the words, by probably not only the words which were powerful and true and right, but also that I'm sure they were taken and they were amazed at the authority, the way that he spoke. And they could not avoid, they could not stay away. They had to listen. And they were just so taken by the way he was speaking and what he was speaking, and yet he does not have the proper credentials. How can he know this? Well, I've shared with you before that each and every believer in the Lord Jesus has the Holy Spirit within their heart to teach them the Word of God, to teach them God's Word, God's will, God's way, God's doctrine. And the Spirit will teach every man the same way. The reason that we have differences of opinion is because they are not listening. Many times we do not listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us of the Word. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three separate persons yet one. They are in total and complete agreement. So you see, when we have the Holy Spirit come to live within us, to take the Word of God, to teach us the ways of the Lord Jesus and God the Father, when we find that and we search that, that's the reason that you will always be in agreement if you both are listening to the Word of God, listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, if we neglect to listen, and we listen a little bit, so we take part of what God is teaching us, but then we take away part of it and put our own opinion in there because it just doesn't quite fit our lifestyle, then we no longer will be one. We'll no longer be together because one is listening, one isn't. Maybe neither one are listening. Or hopefully, prayerfully, both are listening. And when both are listening, you will enjoy the fellowship with each other and with the Lord. You can't imagine what that will be like. And so it's so important that we look to the Word of God. It's not so necessary to have the credentials. Do you have a doctor? Is that in front of your name? You have a doctor of theology? Or you have so many hours towards that, and you're from that proper school? Well, please don't miss that the real teacher is not those professors, not the papers that you write, not the certificate that you have on the wall, but the real teacher, and the important way, is to know the truth, the Word of God, by the teacher, the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't even have the teacher. Say, well, I'm a preacher. I've been a preacher for this many years, and I've never confessed Jesus to be my Savior. I believe in Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe that He died on the cross of Calvary for my sin. But that's it. It's still in your mind, my friend. Let's get it to the heart. Let's get Jesus to come and into your heart. And the only way that can take place is you invite Him in. And it must take place, a personal relationship with Jesus. Then you'll have the Holy Spirit to teach you. And that's the only teacher that's important. That's the only one. That you may know the will of God, to walk after the Lord Jesus. They marveled, saying, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" Well, it was God Himself speaking. And for us to know and to speak authority and with the power of God is to follow after the leadership of the Holy Spirit And as we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and His Word, He will guide us through it line by line, precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit. That's how we're to learn the Word of God. And that's when we'll know it to be the truth. And as we look now, we find in the 16th verse, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." To reject the message of the Lord Jesus is to reject the message of God. You hear many people talk about God has done this and God has done that. They never talk about Jesus. The reason they don't talk about Jesus is because they don't know Him. They don't know Him as their personal Savior. They're talking about a superior being that they don't really know. Because if you don't know the Son, you cannot know the Father. So it's so important that you come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And then we have this wonderful comforter that the Scripture tells us about. Jesus says, "I will not leave you comfortless." He sends us the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And upon Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus left some 10 days before that. So He didn't leave Him alone long. The Comforter came. The Comforter comes into our heart upon us accepting Jesus as our Savior. The Comforter will convict you of your sin. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, brings you to the Lord Jesus. And that is real comfort. So please, that you look to the Lord Jesus. Again, the question, the Jews marveled at what He knew. He had never learned it from the proper schools. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." Now there's a world of people today that when you talk about the doctrine of the church, they want to throw that out. They say the doctrines of the church are not important. Well, the only doctrines of the church that are important are the very doctrines that are made up and from the Word of God. The teachings of the Word of God should be the doctrines of the church. Should be their beliefs, what they stand on, what they preach, what they teach, and what they live is what should be built within the doctrines of the church. Should be all upon the Word of God. All upon "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." The Father's doctrine. God the Father's doctrine, which is the same as the Lord Jesus' doctrine, the same as the Holy Spirit, should be as the same as every individual local church, should be the doctrines of the Word of God. But people today, in their liberal ways, tell us that the doctrines are something that we cannot fight over doctrine. We need to look at one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Himself. And beyond that, there is nothing that's important. Well, you cannot separate Jesus and the doctrines that He taught, because that is Him. He taught those. He has said those. He's recorded those in His Word. How can you ignore them and eliminate them and avoid them? You can't. Now, please, that you look unto the Lord Jesus and you know His doctrines. They rejected the message of the Lord Jesus. The same is to reject the message from God the Father. And so without Jesus, you cannot be saved. Without following after the doctrines of truth of the Word of God and denying that, there's not long that you'll be very, very miserable if you have confessed Jesus truly and He's come into your heart. Or you're not really saved at all. You just said the words with your mouth, but with your mind, nothing happened in your heart. Our old head can get us into a lot of trouble. We ponder on it. We think on it so long, and we do not recognize the hurt in our heart, the sin that needs to be confessed and needs to be taken away, and Jesus can do that. And please, will you come to Jesus? Please trust in Him today. We've talked about the living water. We've talked about the bread of life. both of those things are things that we can take into our mouth. And yes, we look at them, and yes, our mind knows that it's nourishment to our bodies, and then we take them into our bodies. Well, we need to do the same thing with the Lord Jesus. Yes, we can see Him in our mind, and the Holy Spirit's touching our heart and convicting our heart. And so upon that conviction of our heart, please, please bring Jesus in, trust in Him as your personal Savior. Please, come by faith to Jesus today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?